Welcome to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. We are currently going through the book of Exodus with Pastor Dave. In today's study, Pastor Dave will be taking us through Exodus chapter 18, ending in chapter 19, verse 3, where we see that we all have times of trial and tribulation, but when the storm clears, we can rejoice and find rest and praise the God that never left our side, even in the storm. More on that now. Let's join Pastor Dave.
And then it says in the second part of that verse, he will raise us up on the third day that we may live before him. We're close. After 2 days, he's going to revive us. Peter said, a day with the Lord is as 1,000 years. If you're not following me, then don't worry about it. But if you are, go study that. That's interesting. After 2 days, a day with the Lord is as 1,000 years. And after 2 days, Hosea says, the Lord will revive us. Soon and very soon. I mean, that's not just said in vain. That's not just said foolishly. On the third day, it says, he will come down and manifest himself to his people. I'm seeing crazy parallels here, but I don't want to stumble you because it's my opinion. So I'm not going to expound on that. I'm going to keep moving through this text. But I find that very interesting. Jesus Christ is coming soon. He's coming soon. That trumpet is going to blow and we are going to meet him in the air. I think of that Crystal Lewis song from back in the 90s. People get ready. Jesus is coming soon. We are going home. You got to get ready, church. Listen, everything else that was talked about tonight, I don't care. Do what you want with it, but you got to get ready. What did the preacher talk about tonight? You got to get ready. You got to get your house in order. You got to get your life in order. Cheryl's surgery might not even take place tomorrow. You got to get ready. Jesus is coming. I'm going to talk about that more as I go here. He's coming soon, and he's going to come down to the mountaintop. This is cool, too. The Lord is so neat here. I don't want you to miss this. There's so much. Listen, the highest place that the idols, the ancient deity would go was to a mountaintop, and that's the lowest place that the Lord descends. Isn't that so cool? He's just so much greater and bigger and better than any god that man can conjure up. I'm going to come down to the highest place that the false gods exalt themselves to. I'm going to come down to the mountaintop. And you shall set bounds, verse 12. He's given instruction unto the people round about, saying, take heed to yourselves, that you go not up into the mount or touch the border of it. Whosoever toucheth the mount shall surely be put to death. There shall not a hand touch it, but he shall surely be stoned or shot through, whether it is a beast or a man. I don't even want your dog peeing on this mountain. I don't want your dog even walking on this mountain. No beast, no man even touches the mountain that God is going to descend upon. He's teaching them something of holiness, something that we need to learn. He says, when the trumpet sounds long, they shall come up to the mount. You see, I don't want you to even come near. I don't want you to even come close. Lessons of holiness. What he was doing here, what he was producing in their lives was an awe, if you would, a respect for the holiness of God. The God that is coming down among us is a sinless, perfect God. Remember, it was sin that separated man from God, his holiness. And he's reinforcing this idea. And it's important that you're following me here, because if you fail to allow this picture of God in the Old Testament to impact you, if you fail this picture here of having to stay on the outer courts of the presence of God in the Old Testament time, if you fail to allow that to impact you, then the lesson here, the lesson for my appreciation for the price that Jesus paid will be diminished. You see, as Old Testament saints, they had to stay on the outer courts, the outer skirts, fenced off from the presence of God. But in the New Testament, we're bid to draw near. And if I fail to see this picture of God in the Old Testament as it is, I will diminish my appreciation for the work of Jesus Christ. I think that's happened in the church today. We don't appreciate the cross enough. We don't realize what the cross accomplished in our lives, that it is the bridge from us to God. That we, as Hebrews 4:16 says, can come boldly to the throne of grace. Any day or night, any hour, it doesn't matter when it is, that there's an incredible, immediate access to the Lord. Boldly, with confidence, as his children, we can come before his throne. The cross is a place of a throne. That we can come to his throne, obtain mercy and grace in time of need. I always know when it's Daniel that comes to my office versus somebody else, he never knocks. And even if the door's locked like it was today, I had it locked for a reason, right? You lock your door, what does that mean? You don't want somebody to come in. And I hear keys jingling. And I hear it go in the door. And my handle open, and he comes boldly. Just comes in. And he starts talking. Everybody else won't do that. But he does. And that's what God wants of his children. You can just come at any time. You can just enter in. James chapter 4 verse 8 says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. But that's a New Testament thing. We have to see here God, this picture of God in the Old Testament, to appreciate the cross and the impact it has had on our lives, that we can just go before him. We don't take this seriously enough. These people had to stay on the outer skirts. They couldn't even touch the mountain where God's presence is going to be. That would be like us having to stay in the parking lot tonight. And just I, as the pastor, can come in to the house of God and meet with God, and you have to stay out there. Yes, you're going to hear his voice, but you're not going to get the intimacy that I'm getting, or the high priest as we move through and the priest is established. Only the high priest once a year could enter into the Holy of Holies. But the common people, yourselves, you have to stay outside of the temple. But Jesus Christ, when he was crucified on the cross, the veil was torn in two, and there was no longer a separation between man and God. And now we are bid to come boldly before the throne of grace and to draw near to him. We have so much of his presence, we don't even appreciate it. You guys stay away, the Lord says. If you even touch where I am, you're going to be dead. Because I am a holy God. You see, he's producing a fear. Some people say, this is harsh. He's mean. I'm turned off. On the contrary, I'm in awe and I fear him and I praise his name. I'm a holy God. I cannot look upon sin. I cannot be in contact with sin. He maintains his righteousness through these parameters. You need to reverence me if you're going to truly follow after me. Those of you who are here tonight, if you're struggling with following the Lord and having victory over sin, it's because there's a lack of fear of God in your life. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge. Fear him. He's a loving God. He's a gracious God. And yes, his kindness leads us to repentance, but fear him. Don't mistake his long-suffering tonight and his patience as him winking his eye at you thinking you're cute. Staying in the pig slop. He went to the cross for that pig slop. How glorious that we can come before his throne. We can have a Bible study. You're bored. This is boring. Last week was better. We got to see water come out of a rock and it represented Jesus being smitten. This is boring. Two chapters. This stinks. I want to go home. You're in the presence of God. What do you got better to do? We are in the presence of God. And the reason being, not because I'm preaching some great message. I preach the text that's in front of me. Why we're in the presence of God? Because there's a promise made by him. When two or three gather in his name, he's there in the midst. He's in this room tonight. We can't see him, but neither could Israel. But he's here because he's not man that he could lie. And his word is being opened. He magnifies his word above all else. And in other churches that do different things in his name, it's not guaranteed that he's there because they're not opening the word of God. But we have his word opened and he's being exalted. He's in this place. Let us not take it lightly. Let us wash ourselves spiritually. Let us not be like the Pharisees and scribes in the days of Jesus that were outwardly all headed together, but inwardly they were like tombstones. Let us search our hearts and not say if there be any iniquity in me, but let us say, Lord, the iniquity that is in me, cleanse me and deal with me. I'm in your presence tonight. And 2 days are up. 2012. Jesus is coming. So Moses went down, verse 14, unto the people, and he sanctified the people, and they washed their clothes, and he said unto the people, be ready against the third day, and stay away from your wives. Give your wives a break. Stay away from them. No sexual intercourse. Set yourself apart to the Lord. And it came to pass, verse 16, on the third day in the morning, that there were thunders and lightning. How many of you were affected by that last night? A good show, wasn't it? That was a good show for us. How many of you enjoy watching thunder and lightning storms? There's something majestical about the Lord and watching that, isn't there? In ancient times, when a king would come, they would send forerunners. Something that would, in a worthy manner, proclaim that their arrival is soon. Here God says, I'm going to come, and his forerunners are thunder and lightning. Powerful, isn't it? What king can match that? Thunder and lightning like you've never heard or seen before. And a thick cloud, middle of verse 16, upon the mount. And the voice of the trumpet exceedingly loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled. Can you guys see this, or is this just me? Because I didn't read it in any. I read like a ton of commentaries. I listen to teachings. I do all sorts of studying and preparation. Nobody else brought this up, but I'm seeing something here. On the third day, the trumpet blowed, the people trembled. There was this establishedness of the holiness of God. We are told in Thessalonians that the trumpet is going to blow. It's going to sound. And that we are supposed to prepare ourselves to meet with the Lord, that we are supposed to get ready. He's coming soon. Don't you see the parallels here? Or am I tripping? I mean, I see crazy parallels, but I didn't read it or study anywhere else. I don't know if it's something the Holy Spirit just gave me or if everybody else has this same vision too tonight. I just see crazy parallels. The Lord burdened my heart. Nothing else was I really burdened for in what I'm sharing with you than this. I don't know. The Lord wants us to get ready. On the third day, the trumpet was exceedingly loud. And the people trembled. The people that are left behind are going to tremble. What just happened? Where did that car in front of me go? The people. Where did my husband go? Where did my children go? Where did my wife go? Aliens must have abducted them. Pirates. It's some type of terrorist attack. Seriously, where do these people go? They're trembling, shaking. But on the flip side, we as the church should be trembling and shaking the presence of God because we fear him so greatly. And Moses, verse 17, brought the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the nether part of the mount, and Mount Sinai, verse 18, was altogether on fire. It was on smoke, it said, because the Lord descended upon it in fire, and the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mountain quaked greatly. Listen, there's people from Harvard, all these theologians, they say this is some type of volcano. Nonsense. These mountains in the Sinai area were all granite solid rock. They were not volcanic rock. This was not a volcano. This was the manifestation of the presence of the Lord. Fire is a representation of holiness, of judgment. The mountain was on fire. Thunder and lightning. What a show this was. The people are shaking in their boots. And when the voice of the trumpet, verse 19, sounded long, it just kept sounding, and it waxed louder and louder. Moses spake, and God answered him by a voice. Woo! The presence of God. Nothing more in this life that I long for than the presence of God. I don't crave anything like the presence of God. I'm not hungry for anything that this world has to offer like I am for the presence of God. His majesty and his power. Who is like him? Thunder and lightning. There's a trumpet sounding. Where's the trumpet coming from? Can you imagine being at the base of this mountain being the people? Honey, you go ahead. You stand closer. You get a better view. Kids, you too. I'm going to stand back here and just watch everybody. And then the voice of God. What did he sound like? Rush Limbaugh? Ken Graves? Bill Gallatin, I think. I'm going to go with Bill. Because Bill can make anything sound anointed. He could talk about a peacock and it sounds anointed. What did his voice sound like? Probably like a voice we've never heard before. I think it was a voice of authority. I think it was a voice that when it spoke, you listened. You've ever been in a room with somebody like that before? When they speak, you listen. There's something very important that they have to say. They command your attention. I also think it was a very gentle voice. A voice that we've never heard before, obviously. They heard his voice. And the Lord came down, verse 20, upon Mount Sinai. At the top of the mount, and the Lord called Moses, here we go, up to the mount, and Moses went up. I would not go that time. No way. And the Lord said unto Moses, verse 21, go down. Oh my goodness. Go back down and charge the people lest they break through unto the Lord to gaze, and many of them perish. And let the priests also, verse 22, which come near to the Lord, sanctify themselves, lest the Lord break forth upon them. And Moses said unto the Lord, O Lord, they cannot come to Mount Sinai. For you already charged us, saying, set bounds about the mount, Lord, and sanctify it. Lord, hello, you told us to fence this off. They're not going to come near it, God. Come on, you should know better. Lord says in verse 24, away. Get thee down, and you shall come up, you and Aaron with thee. But let not the priest and the people break through to come up unto the Lord, lest he break forth upon them. You see, the Lord knew Israel better than Moses did. And he knew what they would do. He knew what they would do. And so he says, you need to go down and reinforce what I've already told them. They are not to come near this mount, or I'm going to break through upon them. So Moses went down unto the people, and he spake unto them. And that's where we have to pause till next week. The voice of the Lord. Moses, go back down and tell the people to stay away. And I just want to leave us on this thought. They've just experienced, they've heard the voice of the Lord. Don't misread this. They're going to hear the voice of the Lord. They've seen a thunder and lightning and fireworks show like they've never seen before. They're trembling. And yet God tells their leader, you got to go back down. And you've got to tell them that I'm serious. That seems kind of ridiculous to me, doesn't it to you? They need to be told that he's serious. You would think at this point that they would know that he's serious and that he's not playing, right? But yet God says, no, Moses, I don't care what you think you've already accomplished. You need to go tell them this again. They need to know. We can be in the presence of God. We can hear directly from him. A message could so penetrate right to the depths of our hearts. And yet we have the nerve, the audacity, to look in the mirror, the word of God, see the situation, see ourselves just as we are, it is, and turn away and go right back to what we were doing. Isn't it true? And then we have to come back to church on Sunday so that we can be reminded all over again. Because from Wednesday to Sunday, we have very short-term memory. And then next Wednesday, I'll say it again. You'll be like, oh my gosh, I've never heard that before. I just told you last Wednesday. He just told me last Wednesday. He just told me this morning. And we lose sight so quickly. You got to go back to Al Moses. I know these people, but I love them. I love them. And for their own good, I don't want to kill them. I want to pour out my mercy and grace. I just don't want them to go back to that sin. I want them to sanctify themselves. I want them to be clean before me. I want them to fear my presence, be in awe of it, recognize the privilege of being in it, and abide there. To abide there. But God wants with us tonight. He just wants us to hang out in his presence. But don't take it for granted. You can't stay there and stay in sin. Sin's what separates man from God, even Christians. Don't be fooled and deceived, thinking, well, I'm already in the covenant. So were they. They already entered into a covenant with the Lord too. They were his covenant people. They were his precious prize. And God still said, if you obey, same for us tonight. Just because you've said a prayer and you've made Jesus the Lord of your life, that doesn't mean it's okay that you're in sin. On the contrary, it's even worse that you're in sin because you're knowingly doing it. We've got to get right tonight, church. We've got to echo those words of Crystal Lewis. People get ready. People get ready. The second day is over. It's not even like the second day is approaching us. The second day is over. 2000 is more than a decade ago, the year 2000. It's history. We're approaching the third day. No man knows the hour that trumpet's going to blow, but it's going to blow soon. Jesus said, these are the signs of the time of my second coming. The rapture precedes the second coming, right? This is simple doctrine, right? Nothing's left to happen. There's things that still have to happen that haven't quite yet happened for the second coming when Jesus comes back and rules and reigns and sets up his kingdom here on earth when we're with him to do that. There's things and stuff that happen in that. But for the rapture of the church, it's just the next person to get saved. They get saved and that's it. We're out of here. No more wars. No more pestilence. Israel's already reunited as a nation. 1948, this generation shall not pass. I don't know what people are doing. This is not the time to monkey around. God's calling us to himself tonight, saying, I want to make you holy. I want you to be a chaste bride. Moses, go back down and warn them. Because I know what they're like. I know what they're going to do. Dave, go back down and warn them. You want to know what that is? That's an act of God's mercy and grace. Because I don't want to consume them in their sin. God doesn't want to consume you in your sin. God wants you to judge yourself so that you don't have to be judged. How do we sit here now and just go home? What do we do? Right? Don't you feel that way? Like, what do you just, that's it? We're just going to pray now and that's it? No, we gotta put what we just heard into action. We have to put what we just heard into action or else everything we just did was in vain. We need to get right with Jesus tonight. Remember the mistake I told you guys about a few Sundays ago that Moody made back in Chicago? He told his church to go home and think about what was shared, and next week we'll deal with it. Not tonight. We got to deal with it tonight in this house. We're in the presence of God.
That concludes our message for today here on Lost and Found. Join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through God's Word. We invite you to join us this coming Sunday at Calvary Chapel Westside. Our Sunday morning services are 9 and 11 a.m. We'd also love for you to refuel with us at our midweek study on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Calvary Chapel Westside is located at 2407 Union Street in Spencerport, New York. If you'd like to know more about CC Westside, you can log on to our website at ccwestside.com. That's ccwestside.com. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Vimeo, where you can access videos of Pastor Dave's teachings. If you'd like to contact us, simply give us a call. Our phone number is 585-352-3150. Again, that's 585-352-3150. Or send us an email. We would love to hear from you. Our email address is radio@ccwestside.com. That's radio@ccwestside.com. Thank you for listening to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. Join us next time as we continue our study through God's Word. Luke 19:10 says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." It is our prayer that you have found the only pathway that leads to an abundant life, found only in Jesus Christ. Let blood and water hit the ground.